I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay. What's up?
How are we all? Happy birthday to you last week, Linz.
Thanks, queen.
Do you feel any older?
I know, I look it.
Well, you don't, and that's what we're going to be talking about this week. But first of all, we want to remind you all, sign up for our Patreon. If one episode of It Girls is not enough for you, okay? I know I'm a patron of people, and it's because I eat up their content so quickly and then I'm just dying for more, especially when it's your favorite pod, you know that way. Mm-hmm. And Patreon's a great way to do that. We have over 120 episodes on there. There is the, like, and when you, this is a, you know, a common question, FAQ is, when I sign up, do I only get like this month? No, no, no. When you sign up, you get the entire back catalog. Okay. So you're going to get over 120 episodes. You're going to get like when I started going out with Evan, when I was breaking up with my ex, like so much shit is on there. And then like our newer content is just really focused at like being extra and juicy and like sex birds, great guests. We've got like Q&As, we've got burner episodes. You get access to Discord, you get monthly live streams. You know, it's really kind of grown into its own little like world over there.
It is. And so, people are making friends. I think that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. People are making friends. People are having the chats on Discord. And it's just fucking deadly. We also have our XXX Gals tier, which is €8 a month, and you get an extra episode and you get bigger merch discounts. There's just so much shit on there. So if you're interested, it's a $5 a month. This is going to be a long old month, 31 days, huns. March always drags.
Get a lot of bang for your buck, don't you?
You do. You get bang for your bleeding buck. You know, less than the price of a fucking coffee. The one thing we're able to buy at the moment.
I know, and they are expensive.
I know.
I am throwing straight cash down for coffees. I'm like, two coffees, please. They're like €25.
I know. It's so fucking expensive. So, you know, put a fiver towards X-Gals and you'll get way more enrichment out of your
life.
It's
a form of self-care. I mean, I have been, like, since some of the conversations with this expert, I've been orgasming. Let's just say. So yeah, we want to give you tips over there. Also, we have a little merch discount. This is the last day that you can access with this discount for It Gal's birthday. We are four
years old. We're like going into junior infants.
Yeah.
We're no longer an infant, actually.
B-Day 15 is the discount code. You can get our Still Sexy merch, which we have been rocking all over Dublin. Mm-hmm. Well, within our 5 km. I have the hoodie. Came so quick as well, which is super sexy. And the tote bags are unreal. They fit like your whole life in there. They're super like durable. And then we have like the Wet n Woke hoodie, which is iconic and so sexy.
Yeah.
So fucking cool and sexy and unisex.
So pick up some iconic It Girls merch. We're the only ones really killing the merch game, I will say, at the moment.
Yeah, we are.
Our merch looks like fucking, anytime I wear it, I get asked where it's from.
Literally.
Like, it's mine. Hey.
And like, lads do be loving it, by the way, girlies.
They do. Instead of like, we can maybe start a new trend. Instead of like boyfriend sweaters, it's like girlfriend sweaters.
Yeah, literally.
Buy it in an XL.
But they don't have shit written on them. You know when you go on ASOS and it says something like, this girl loves to nap.
Don't talk to me before my coffee.
I know. Or like, boy bye. All these like rejecting lads via their fucking clothing. We're like Wet n Woke, Still Sexy. Come on, lads. Come on.
Now, I'm yet to see a guy rocking the Still Sexy. That would be kind of funny. Like, it's like, I always ask Ev because he's always liked our merch and he has the Wet n Woke.
And it looks good in him.
It looks good. He hasn't worn it in a while. Actually, must get him to pull it out. But I was like, what about the Still Sexy one? He's like, I'm not really going to be going around wearing something that says sexy on it. I was like, actually, fair point.
Fair point. We'll leave that to the girdle.
But yeah, go check it out. Last day. And then it's back to full price. So go check it out. This week we're going to have a little talk about faves of the month, just kind of like a little chit chat catch up, guys, because I know we've had some kind of more structured podcast in the last while, and we just want to sit back and have a chit chat, have a talk about you, because I feel like fucking January and February for me, like, molded into one giant month.
They do that all the time.
And I felt like I was literally chasing my tail for the whole 2 months. I felt like I was like, like, I felt like so not, like, usually at the start of the year I feel like so, like, much, I just feel way better at, like, making a plan and kind of knowing what's going to happen and, like, being, like, kind of focused. January and February I felt like I was just like a fucking whirlwind or something. I was just like, I feel like I'm nothing planned. Mm. Everything's like slipping through my fingers. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. Like, just horrendous. What did you feel?
I always feel like it's 1 month. They sound very similar, January, February. So I kind of see it as 1 month. And then, like, my birthday month is March. So
yeah,
I'm just kinda like,
you're kind of waiting.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm loving the sun. I'm loving that it's getting a bit more bright and I'm very ready for March. Yeah. I'm so happy. I have been not been so happy for a month in a long time.
I know.
And it's not even that it's my birthday month. It's just like, I feel like we're kind of getting into.
Yeah. Well, March is when you kind of feel like, okay, we're starting to get into the year now. You know, way you're like chipping away. And it's kind of like the first month where you're like, okay, every month it gets a bit better now.
Yeah.
You know, the way you're like, oh, then it's April, then it's May, then it's summer. Yeah. And it's a bit more exciting, you know, that way, instead of like.
And it's hard living in like, you know, a country with such intense weather, like such cold, long winters. Yeah. So
hasn't been too bad this year, in fairness.
I don't know. I fucking hate winter. It's like, it's always bad for me. But like seeing this like little bit of sunshine coming in has just been so nice.
Oh God, yeah. And the longer days.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Topic.
But we wanted to do a kind of episode on like self-preservation, how we're kind of keeping ourselves entertained, beautiful, what we're doing.
Yeah,
what we're up to in our bedrooms, in our bathrooms.
In our bedrooms, oh honey.
Oh.
Not much. since I put the TV up in the room, me and Lindsay were talking the other day. I put a TV up in my bedroom. And we were talking about that episode of Sex and the City. Or
it's
is it
the movie?
Movie?
It's second the second movie. Penelope Cruz was in that. How random.
That's so random. And she was like, bedroom. And Mr. Big puts a TV in the
for Valentine's Day or something.
That's the killing of the romance.
We picked up so much shit from that fucking Carrie Bradshaw bitch.
Toxic shit that isn't even real.
Like, I know.
Like, just complete and utter nonsense.
She was like, because apparently they were away at the wedding and they watched that old time movie and they enjoyed it. And then Big was like, we can do that again.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, that was in the hotel. I remember she was like wandering around her grand apartment with this like long kind of strapless dress and holding it up at the breasts. She's always up the décolleté.
She's always like holding up her towel by the breast as well. It's like, just tuck it in like everyone else.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it's really not that hard.
What
it's
like, I do, I wear my towel like a man. Like, I, because it doesn't clip there. Like, I don't know if it's because the tits get in the way, but like, I wear it like around my waist and just let the tatas out.
When I'm a robe girl.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, Evan and I both have like bath robes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that would be my preference.
Different robes for different folks.
I know, we like rob one every time we go somewhere.
Do you? Do you have a wardrobe of robes?
We actually do. We have like three each.
No way.
Well, just like, because you have to.
The white ones.
Yeah, we've got like, we've got one from.
So you're straight out of the shower into a robe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The towel robe.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Like the hotelier ones.
The hotel ones. Some of them are like towel on the inside and then like.
Party on the outside.
Party. Velour on the outside. And they're kind of like, you know, that like beach towel, like soft on the outside.
Oh,
you know,
a bit of fluff.
Party on.
Do you know what wrecks my head about? Like, I love a robe, but they take up so much space. It's like a fucking puffer jacket. They take up so much space in the wardrobe.
Yeah, we don't have them on the wardrobe.
Oh, you have them hung
back
over
at the door.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We've got hooks on the inside of the door and the outside. So it's like inside for when you're in the shower and then outside to dry it out.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I love that organization.
Usually I smack Evan around the head when he just like leaves his flung on the fucking floor.
What is it with
the
flinging?
Do that?
I don't know.
They just, it's like everywhere. I was actually talking to someone recently who was like, oh my God, my boyfriend does. Remember I was telling you that when we had that pull-up bar in our bedroom and Evan was just like that's where he was putting the robes as well. I was like, and it's like a whole foot from where the hook is. I'm like, why? She was like, oh, my boyfriend does that too. And I was like, okay, I've actually dismantled the pull-up bar and I've hidden it under the bed and he hasn't seemed to notice.
Oh, great.
But like now it's just like piles of clothes. Like, so the other day, we always have this fight. On our washing basket, riveting content, but on our washing basket, like, he just piles all of his clothes on top of it. And I'm like,
the fresh clothes?
A mix.
Okay.
Some fresh, some dirty, who knows? Like, that means I get to sniff the armpits. And then it's like, I'll like open the basket to put my clothes in the fucking washing basket. And he's like, why are all my clothes on the floor? And I'm like, why are they on top of the thing? Like, if you just put them in the basket, then they don't. He's like, just be careful of my clothes pile when putting your dirty clothes in. I'm like, just don't have them on top of
the oh my God.
I swear to fucking
God. Do you feel like you're noticing these things way more than in normal life?
Well, my normal life always was this.
Oh yeah, true. It is normal life now.
So,
see, I kind of get a bit like influenced by the lads. Like my lad it's great. Like he will take his jeans off at the end of the day. You know, when you're like getting cozy, he'll take his jeans off like in the living room. There'll be like 3 pairs of jeans just like on the spare, like, chair that we don't use. And I kind of just copy.
Really?
And then I'm like, then I'm getting like rattled. I'm like, oh my God, this clothes, everything's so disorganized. And then I'm like, actually, no, you got to be influenced by me.
Yeah.
Not taking off my, because I'm like, oh, that looks kind of fun. It's like that episode of Friends. Remember when Rachel went in to move in with Joey? And she was like, oh yeah. Shit, I dropped pasta on the floor. And then he's like, it's fine, throw pasta on the floor. So I need to like kind of take the reins and be like the feminine one who's like, no, this goes there. I did it with the keys. I got a little like trinket thing because like every time we'd be leaving, he's like, well, my keys. I'm like, why isn't it in the trinket box that I told you?
Good luck with the trinket box. I did the same for mine. Now my trinket box is overflowing with shite.
Oh, really?
This is the thing. Men don't know how to just like keep things like...
Everything has a place.
Minimal. They don't know how to like have a key tray that you just put your keys in. Maybe your wallet. That's it.
Yeah.
No. Now I've got like SD card readers, weird like twirly kind of cables. I'm always like camera shit. And then also because the two of us are self-employed, it's like receipt heaven. There's just like receipts everywhere all the time. And I'm not allowed to touch any of them or throw any of them out.
The stress.
I'm just like, oh, I know, like that. I like that was our, that's exactly like our fucking key tray at the moment is like, I mean, I'm going to say like 6 inches high, full of shit. Just like, and my keys aren't even in it because there's no space for them because there's also like 6 sets of keys for his fucking studio.
My God.
But that's what men are like. I swear to God, they're all the same.
Because like when I was living here, it was just so handy. Like everything had its place. I knew where everything was.
Mm.
And I just, you function so fucking well when you're like, that's my keys, that's my coat, da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's also you've moved into his space though.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
Yes. It's fine. He's like, I mean, I'm moving stuff around. It's grand.
Oh, no, I know. I just mean that it's different when you're like moving in because like he will have his like the jeans thing.
Yeah.
Like there's certain things you're never going to be able to beat out of him. Like Evan every night takes his socks off and like throws them in the middle of the ground.
There's certain things that I have to, you actually have to more so learn. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to be picking up jeans forever.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be picking up a ball of socks every night. Sometimes good honor will take them into her bed for a little nuzzle.
Oh, really?
She loves a smelly sock moment. If Ev like throws a sock, she's like, picks them up and like brings them into her bed.
Oh my gosh, dogs are gas.
They're fucking so funny. But speaking of a messy gap, okay. So yesterday I did like a spring clean, very on brand for spring.
Because
you know when you're just like sitting in your apartment and you're like, oh God, it's so messy. Like,
yes.
You're just like, oh, how did this happen? And then you're like thinking, when was the last time I mopped? Like we have the little RoboVac thing, which is fucking brilliant. But like, you still have to take out the Hoover once. I'd say only once every 2 weeks.
For really?
Full fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Getting all the corners, the cobwebs. Yeah. And it was just one of those things that like, the more I thought about it, I was like, oh my God, I have to do like a full clean. I like cleaned my house fucking top. Like it took me like 4.5 hours.
What were you doing?
Oh, well, I've started a new project.
Oh.
I'm doing up our balcony.
Oh.
I'm going to make it a chic area because, I mean, at first, like, Evan, we didn't know if we were going to be still in that apartment, like, in this summer, but, like, we definitely are now. But, so I'm, like, I want, like, because at the moment, like, my roommate kind of, like, he smokes, mm-hmm. which is fine. And he smokes outside, so that's fine.
No smoke shaming here.
No smoke shaming. But like, he smokes, so he kind of just uses that for the cigarette thing. So then like, me and Evan never really go out there, and it just gets in bits kind of.
Yeah.
And then I was walking into my apartment complex the other day, and I could see our balcony, and I was like, oh, everyone else's balcony is so nice. Mine looks in bits, you know? And you're like, oh, I don't want to be like the knackery apartment.
That's
in my
so
block.
Malahide. I remember living in the marina, and like, they, it's like a kind of status thing to have, like,
for
the
sure.
fabulous a beautiful hanging baskets. Like,
it's also because a lot of the people I think are like in my block, and I'd say in the marina too, they've all downsized, so they used to have a garden, so like now they're able to, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing it up. So I like fully fucking cleaned all the windows there. I hoovered the balcony. I like who, like, it was, there was so much shit out there. I was like, oh my god, this is actually insane. Took me so long, but the reason I'm telling you this story is because what kept me entertained is a podcast I want to discuss and recommend to everyone. You'll even love it. Okay, it is like so fucking good. Shout out to my friend Eamon, who definitely doesn't listen to this podcast, but this might get back to him somehow. He always puts me onto the best fucking podcast. So it's called The Apology Line, okay? And it's a podcast about this guy called Alan, who in 1980 put up posters all over New York making like an answering machine box for people to apologize onto. So people would just ring up and be like, I'm so sorry for doing this, I'm so sorry for doing that. But it gets dark like so fucking quickly. Like, he's an artist, so he's like, this is like an art project for him, where he has this like fascination, and it's true story, this actually happened. He's like an artist, and he's like fascinated with, like, I guess like the darker side of humanity. And he was kind of like, I feel like if I have a place for people to like apologize, maybe like someone could either hear it and know what they're saying, or like it can kind of give someone a bit of relief over something bad that they've done. But he never like knew that like the type of shit that people would be apologizing for. He thought it was going to be like, I'm sorry to my husband for being mean, but it's people being like, I'm sorry to all the people that I've mugged, I'm sorry to the person that I murdered. It gets like so fucking crazy. And it's like, it's done so well. It's done by this company called Wondery, who I've listened to loads of their podcasts. They're like a podcast company kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's done like very professionally, obviously. And it's actually like, without giving away too much, but the person who presents it was like very close to him in real life. So like,
close to the artist.
Yeah. So they lived through it with him. And like, it's just so, so incredible. Like, it's amazing. And they're only like 40 minutes long. There's like six episodes, 40 to a.
And do they do one apology each?
No, they kind of, it's the, well, like, I mean, it went on for 10 years.
Whoa.
Or maybe 20. It went on for so long. Like, I think maybe it was like 15 years. So they, it's not really based, it's you just kind of have to listen to it. It's not really done on like one apology per episode. There's only six episodes, as I said, but it kind of categorizes like how it started, just like how it went basically for the entire lifespan of the apology line, and like how it influenced pop culture, because like this was pretty big in America, you know. It was based in New York, but anyone could call in, and it got like really well known. But also like it kind of was the starting point for like there were these things on the radio, like apology line, like ring up and tell us your darkest secrets. Like, people started to like copy it. He never really made any money from it. Like, it's so fucking good though. It's like such an incredible podcast. Wow. I listened to the entire thing while cleaning my house. I love it when you find something like that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, thank God.
That's so cool.
Because that's what podcasts are perfect for. You know, that way when you just have like your AirPods in, you can just be like mindlessly doing stuff like hoovering.
Yeah, totally. And being entertained.
Yeah.
And being like, it's like company as well.
Oh my God, it's so good though. You have to fucking listen to it.
Okay,
it's like,
I'm going
to
write it down because I always
forget. It's so fucking good.
Things. Apology line. It kind of reminds me, I remember when I found Post Secret back in like the MySpace days.
Oh my, that is such a throwback.
I know.
Me and my friend Leanne were obsessed with that. It's,
so
it's the exact same. It's I'd say they probably got a huge amount of, is that still online? I want to see.
I wonder, let's see. Post Secret was like a website, and it would be updated like once a week from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just these little postcards that people would make and send them into this website or whatever. And it was kind of, it's kind of saying like revelations or something that mm-hmm. they found, or like apologies or whatever. I said she dumped me, but really I dumped her body.
I daydream that my ex will rescue me from my current relationship. Oh.
Yeah, it's all these just kind of like little secrets that you have, like inner thoughts kind of. And some of them were dark and some of them were really sad and some of them were just lovely. I believe I will accomplish something truly great in this lifetime.
Oh my God, it's so like post-secret. I'm going to be 53
tomorrow.
That's so crazy.
And you never knew.
You know when your brain completely like fucking goes off your... my brain is completely deleted this from my memory and I used to like religiously... Like back in the day when you would have certain websites to look at, I'd be like postsecret.com.
I know, we loved it. We loved it. I don't think we would have known each other back then.
No, this is when I was like first year college.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I mean, it kind of goes back to like, you know, a big part of that podcast is kind of saying like how not only like the, like, first of all, it's really interesting seeing like anonymity. Like we always talk about that, like the power that gives people of like what they will say mm-hmm. versus what they won't say if their name is attached to it. And also like people, other people being fascinated and listening to like other people's deepest and darkest, like, admissions, you know, like, and it's like with our Q&As, you know, it's like they're real stories that people are like sending in, and like it gives you like a crazy perspective on life, and it can make you feel better about yourself because you're like, oh, at least I didn't do that, or at least that's not going on in my life, or it can make you feel worse, or it can make
you feel like connected in the sense of like, you know, I'm going through something similar, I'm so glad that I don't feel alone mm-hmm. and like this is just my problem, that this is like a normal kind of human thing that you know, people are dealing with, like this one from Post Secret. Dear friend, I never told you, but I was on my way home to swallow all of my medicine that day. You saw me at the bus stop and gave me a hug.
They're so romanticized, it's hilarious, but like they're so cute,
and they were all like individual little like handmade postcards mm-hmm. that were sent in to this website. It was so random.
How weird. So I think every time you open the website you get, because like I'm not getting the ones that you're getting, they're so, I think the algorithm is like completely randomized. And one, remember I saying I watched it, I looked at it in Trinity, like three postcards down, the postcard is Trinity College. How weird. And I don't like my life anymore, time to rebuild it.
No way. How and what weird. The postcard is from,
it's
Trinity.
From Trinity College. Look, it's like Trinity College.
Oh my gosh.
How crazy is that?
That's so weird. It's so, and they do, because they're so short and sweet, you really connect to them. And some of them are funny, like I was saying, some of them are kind of, you know, sad. But
some of them are
people.
Just silly, like, my secret guilty pleasure is sushi. I've been vegetarian since seventh grade.
Yeah, so, like silly little things. It's just like, and you connect to like people being raw and real. So that's deadly that you find something that you have been able to divulge in. I know. Love that.
It's done now though. I don't know if there's any more episodes, but I mean, like, it was such an enjoyable enjoyable 4.5 hours of cleaning. That is the only reason I stuck to that. Usually I truly do get bored halfway through cleaning a lot of the time. I'm like by the time I get to my bedroom I'm like, fuck the bedroom. But I did the whole thing, the shake and vac and everything.
No way.
I know, I was like fucking like a maid yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
Except for not looking like a sexy maid, like, you know, when you're wearing like your cleaning clothes and you're like sweating randomly.
Oh my goodness. Like, I just, it takes so long. It's so surprising.
And you're like, it's taking an hour.
Especially with apartments. Oh. You constantly have to like
rejig storage and stuff. So like, I mean, I was like trying to put stuff away, didn't have a place to put it.
I know, you're constantly like Amazon storage boxes.
And then it's like, and then I have to have a load of storage boxes everywhere.
I know. What am I storing? Like, because I'm in the process, in the transition of moving, it's been like overwhelming in the sense of like, oh my God, why do I have so much stuff? Why don't I have a PA that I could just get to do this? Like, I hate like the apartments and me and stuff is just, I have so much stuff. I have so much stuff, especially with kids.
Yeah.
Because they're like grown out of clothes, or they don't wear those, I don't like those clothes, or that toy, I don't like, all that kind of stuff. So I have so much fucking stuff. I have like from charity shopping to so many little trinkety biddly little thingies. And I'm just downsizing. I'm like, okay, I need to go into a new space and have what I fucking really, really like, what mm-hmm. I really need, what I really wear, what I really use. And that's all. Like, not having like random objects or random things, or I might wear that, or I know I do, like, I love that bottle of that serum, I'll just keep, you know, this shit that you keep in your life, or you're like, oh, I never used that cream, it's probably out of date, but it was 50 fucking €5 so that's not going in the skip. But it is like definitely, and especially now, I guess I'm blessed, it's hard in a way because nothing's open. So like I really mm-hmm. needed like a chest of drawers, and I was looking up online and stuff trying to get them delivered, and they're all like 4 weeks for delivery time. Everything's so slow. And I was just like, I can't live out of a suitcase or whatever.
Yeah.
So went on Adverse. Adverse can be like hit and miss, but I actually did find a really nice chest of drawers. And that was like life changing.
Yeah.
Because I have somewhere to put my shit. And I'm just going to be really slow with getting stuff. And not, I think that's the blessing, is that like if the shops were open,
yeah,
I could just go in and go fucking hard and like getting so much shit like that. But I actually love spaces and homes that have been like slowly put together.
Yeah, it's way nicer.
Yeah. So I'm just going to be slow and just like know that things take time and like making a home. Like, I mean, I've been sick of my place for a while. If you are not a triple X gal, that's where I put the tea. I'm moving, in the process of moving. Like we're recording mine for the foreseeable, but like I'm not going to be living here because I just like, you know, when you get sick of a fucking place, it's so hard. Because it's like your whole surroundings. And when Rilo had that fall, he like fell down the side of my, like down the stairs. And I just, it really like made me so anxious living here. And I just like, you know, I've never met my landlord. All these kind of little things. My fucking shit breaks and it takes ages to get it fixed. There was a leak. You know, when you're just like, I'm over this fucking place. So, yeah, I'm really excited to like a new leaf. A new place, a new space. But with that, I'm just trying to like rein in my like compulsive fucking buying, whether it's online, whether it's on, like, because I mean, especially with apartments, because I'm moving into another apartment space.
Yeah. So,
like, you just gotta fucking chill.
Yeah, you do.
Like, there's no storage anywhere. And I have like, and I'm just like, why do we have so much stuff? It's mad. Why do I have like 50 t-shirts?
It's just years of just amalgamating it, you know, that way. And it's really only moving, like, I've moved a few times and that's how I've gotten rid of pretty much all my shit.
Yeah.
You know, that way, like, I mean, when I moved when I was like 17, like, that was all my childhood shit gone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't miss it. Like, there's one box in my mom and dad's attic of like, I don't know what the fuck is up there, you know, yeah, that way. But it's like, it's if you don't move, and like, I mean, because you went from your mom's, obviously, then to the apartment in Malahide, which got burnt down, and you had that other apartment, but like that was never really like fully developed. And then you moved in here like, what, like fucking 10 years ago or something?
Yeah, wait, 7,
like, you know, so 7 years of shit, of course.
You're gonna
build up stuff, you know, that way.
And I'm ready to leave this apartment because I think it's like I've had so much shit here, as in, like, you know, me and Jimmy lived here for a while, and then like we broke up and I changed it all, and then like I just, you need sometimes a fresh space, I think.
I have a funny story for you about you moving. Someone the other day said to Evan, they were like, oh, is Lindsay moving to? And they said, the area that you've moved to. And he was like, yeah, why? She's like, oh my God. She's like, because the other day I saw a guy walking around that area with this huge bird of paradise plant. And I was like, she goes, the first person I thought of was Lindsay. And then she goes, and then 10 steps behind him, I saw Lindsay.
That's so fucking gas. My plants, and I brought like, oh my God, one of my monsteras, the one that was over there.
That crazy one.
Yeah, the really.
Oh yeah, the really
like,
wild.
Oh my God, getting that in the van.
Yeah, the plants are so hard to move. I remember moving them from mine to Evan's. I was like,
I moved it in the van, put it in the van, fine. Out of the van, in the lift. Got it in the gaff, snap. The fucking thing broke. I had to just fuck it in the bin.
Yeah. You know? I'm actually like, there's two plants that I'm getting horny to throw out of my apartment. One of them is just like, you know, those plants that you're like, you just will not live.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm doing everything I can. I haven't changed any of
your
habits.
Don't like me.
You don't like me. You don't like my apartment.
Yeah.
Maybe your lifespan is done. But like the annoying thing is both of them are like plants that Evan bought like before I lived there. So he has a conspiracy in his head that he's like, he thinks that I'm purposely killing them because I don't like them.
Is it the one with the plaited?
Yes, that thing. It's like has one, like it just keeps dying. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what to do with you. Which does freak me out because it is a money tree. Yeah, I know.
It's called a money tree. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like a Chinese money tree. And it's like how well it blooms is meant for your fortune. So we'll see.
God,
I'll be on the dole by the end of the year. Maybe I should try a little bit harder with that one.
Yeah.
And then this other fucking tree that I have like hidden behind a door, basically. I'm just like.
But there's no, like, I hate, like, there's something so beautiful. Like, I got a skip and the feeling of throwing.
I love throwing shit out.
In a skip is like, it actually turns me on.
Like, I've thrown out so much fucking shit this year, especially.
I love it.
Because I remember like, coming into winter, I just, me and everyone to our wardrobes again. Because I was like, I've been here nearly a year. If I haven't worn it in that year, it's getting thrown out.
Yeah.
You know that way? I'm like, why would I just be like randomly holding onto random cloth? I love this cloth. I like this cloth.
It's designer.
Cloth costs a lot. Sometimes I was like, you always do that thing where you're like, I'll go on Depop. I fucked it all. Yeah,
or I always like, if a button is snapped off a dress or something, I'll be like, oh, I'll just get loads of cool quirky buttons and and make a new dress. And
quirky button girl.
Yeah, as if I'm going to like go to a button shop. And so
hickeys,
like, I know the dress was expensive, but like, it was, I remember, like, there's this dress that was expensive, and like, I was just like trying, it has all buttons, and I was like trying to open, I was like, oh, for fun, I just ripped it off. Oh. Like, so ridiculous. Oh, but like, yeah, throwing shit in the fucking skip was like orgasmic.
Yeah.
Especially stuff that, like, yeah, you just cling on to things that you kind of like tell yourself is meaningful, or like, oh, I'll want this one day. No, fuck it out. It's brill.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How has your relationship with beauty changed over the last year?
Like
beauty products, you know.
Yeah, beauty,
not,
and
not being beautiful.
Beauty and makeup. I definitely feel like I've got it down. My beauty, like my skincare and my makeup. I feel like what really has served me well over the years is not switching up my makeup.
Yeah.
And I've done the same now for skincare. And, you know, obviously with not having anywhere to go and being in the gaff, I have noticed that I do wear makeup for me.
Oh my God.
And not for girl anyone boss vibes. Fucking else, all right?
She's called it self-realized woman vibes. Pop off, sis.
Yes, it's
with
for
that self-love
me.
Queen.
Yes. Thank you.
And yes, I'm wearing makeup up for me. For me only, and thank you. Bow down, bitches. Swipe left.
Thank you. Next. Boy, bye.
Boy, bye.
This makeup, this look is not for you. This beat is for me.
And other girls.
And my gram, possibly. But yeah, like putting on my makeup just like cheers me up.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't have any on today. And I ain't cheery.
No. Well, know? It's like some days.
Well, I stayed over my mom's last night with my makeup bags and the other guff. You know, that kind of fucking transitional shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and like same, like skincare, I had a fucking sit last week.
Oh, jeez, we never heard the end of the thing. It was so small, and Lindsay called it acne.
My mom, like fucking, anytime I have a sit, like I dread seeing my mom.
Really?
Because she will talk about it.
Oh my
so
God.
Annoying. Like, so she came over, I had this sit, and I was like not wanting to put makeup on it, and I was just like keeping it, letting it heal, and my mom's like opens up the door and she's like, oh, you have a spot, do you? I'm like, hello to you too.
Oh my God.
Every time. She's like, well, why? Where did you get it? I'm like, I bought it. Where, like, I mean, so I could, oh, it was just so annoying. I think it was maskne.
I don't know. I think it's just a pimple.
Well, like
maskne is like when you'll get like a cluster.
Oh lordy, I hate that
you
word.
You know, like one little mask on your one little pimple on your cheek. It's usually diet. You weren't drinking, so maybe it was like taking it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm. I say that's what it was.
I know, I hate that.
Cheek
I've
is
been,
usually diet, I think.
Is it? Because I've been super healthy, so I think it's like the toxins from my past non-healthy life expelling via my fucking organ.
Probably.
Disgusting. But like, I just can't leave, is it? Like, I could feel it and I was like, okay. And you know when you're like, that ain't ready. that ain't ready. But I was like, maybe it is. Fuck it. I'll just like, and I like, then I just have a wound.
Yeah, and it goes all flaky. I'm actually so fucking good at never touching them.
Really?
Mm.
I just make wounds out of my face. Like, I'm just like fucking hacking away. It's gross.
I read like this article a few years ago from this like French facialist, and she was like, the biggest lie sold to like the, from like most facialists is that like you should be doing extractions from your skin. She's like, never do any extraction from your skin. She tells like all of her clients, or she had like, all these celeb clients, like really fucking hot bitches. I can't even remember who the fuck they were. It was ages since I read it, but I think Monica Bellucci was on. And she was like, I tell them like if they go anywhere else for a facial, like if they're in America, just like flat out refuse fucking any extractions. She's like, it's literally like trauma on your skin. She's like, it should be all done by like acids and like steaming and really gentle to your face, which makes sense. Cause I'm like, anytime like I ever pop a spot, it just looks like so bad. But if I leave it, and if it, cause I find like if they go a bit yellow, like in the shower, like it kind of pops by itself, you know, that way. And then like all the shit just kind of comes out of it and it heals a little easier. I hate the like, but Evan is always at it.
Sometimes I feel like, I don't know, I've read that before about like never pop a zit, but I don't believe it cause I've been, like some, I just can't not.
Yeah.
And like some they always heal like on me as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, the other fucking week we went for a walk. Those damn Doc Martin platform bastards.
Oh yeah, because you never fully kind of wore your
I have tried, Jenny. I've been walking around town.
They're too small.
The left one is too small.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was like, but this five was grand. The six was way too big.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think I have different shaped, different size feet.
Probably. I think most people do. But I'd say, yeah, they need to do half size in Docs.
In every shoe company.
I'm a half size.
Same.
Well, like my Docs always fit me in a five. Got new ones. I got the replacement.
Oh yeah, they're so
cute. I bought these fucking Docs the other week. And I thought I bought the right ones that I wanted, and they came and they had the eyelets were like this brass. And I just, like the minute I opened the box, I just heard, shoop, 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 da-lang-a-lang. It was like indie looking. Like I was like, I look like I'm fully writing poems outside Grogan's. Like,
oh my God.
I feel like I'm wearing like tweed blazers and a trilby and it's 2010.
Milady.
And milady and brogues. Like I'm like, sopping out the brogues for a new Doc Martin.
Yeah. Brogues with those little like communion socks.
Smoking cigarettes.
A roly.
Having a roly while drinking a pint.
Fingerless gloves.
But and then I finally got the right ones.
But yeah, I was walking around. Oh yeah, we were going for a walk.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the steps in. So my fella's now like health vibe and all that kind of stuff. The worst thing I think that was brought into our lives, and this is all of our lives, is those step counter things on the phone.
Apparently, like, it's a load of bullshit.
I would
as well.
Say it defo is. It's like, just stop talking. Like, fucking hell, do like, I have to know?
Of course, moving is good, but like, you know, when people are like, I'm on this massive weight loss journey and I'm making sure to get 10,000 steps in a day. I'm like, okay, go for a run or like do some act, like, walking slowly.
I know. Like, it's not
I mean, unless you're like truly so out of shape, you know, that way, like you've never done any exercise. Yeah, yeah. I can understand that much. But like, come on. Like,
I know. So
walking?
He was like, let's go for a 20-minute walk. We were going somewhere. It was 20 minutes. That was a grand. It was 45. It was a 45-minute walk. I would have worn me runners, but I wore my Doc Martens. And I was like, I'm actually so fucking sore. I'm like, I'm actually dying. I can't walk anymore. You had to give me a jockey back through the canal. And I took off my shoe and oh my God.
It does nothing worse than Doc Marten burns.
It was like, oh my God. It was like a blister. One of those blood blisters. Encapsulated. The blood was encapsulated.
Ew.
And I was like, what the fuck? I had to get a taxi home. And then I was like, oh my God, that is so sick. It was like a throbbing hard, like it was cock. Puce. Throbbing hard cock. I fucked butt. It. I fucked my
ew.
And I was like, oh my God. So it was like this blood encapsulated in this thin layer of skin. I was like, I need to fucking just hack away at this, yeah, please. And he was like, no, no, no. He was Googling. He was like, you can get infection. Please.
No, you do
not.
Have to blisters. You have to pop and let this sit the.
Yeah. And yeah. I knew that. And I was like,
otherwise,
yeah,
it's way more sore.
We had a fight about the goddamn blister because he was like, no, honestly, you could be like, look, read Google. I'm
like WebMD always tells me I've got cancer, babe.
Yeah, it tells me I can't do fucking anything. This is like, I couldn't walk. I couldn't put on shoes. Like, I was a size 7. Like it was like 3D. I was like, I just need to like do this. It's, yeah. I know it's gross, but I just gotta.
No, yeah,
like And he was like, no. And I was like running away and like, oh my God. And he was like, no, but look at this article. I was like, fuck that fucking article. I have an encapsulated socket of blood.
Ew.
And it's, of course I fucking did it. And it's grand now.
Yeah. No, you have to, with blisters, you have to take the liquid out of them. Because that stop, and then you put a blister plaster on, then yeah, you're like all good to go. I know. You're like bish bash bosh.
What I did, which was sick, I fucking, so I got all the blood out. So it was this kind of little flap.
Yeah.
Put on the, like, those plasters are fucking rip off, by the way. Pardon the pun. €7 for three.
Yeah, but they work. Ones. They work.
They don't. I fucking put the thing on, and it just, and in the shower the next day, like I was to take it off. Or like it was kind of half peeling off, so I took it off and it came, all that flap of skin.
Yeah,
ripped.
That's what they do.
Oh, it's yeah, supposed
they,
to rip.
Well, they like heal the skin with it. Okay. You have to leave them on as long as possible. Yeah. But they do work. But yeah, what were we talking about? Fucking beauty.
My beautiful blister.
My beautiful. Do you know what I wanted to ask you another question? Because I'd be the same as you with beauty. Like, I mean, I think everyone's the same this year with like you doing their makeup and shit though as well.
Oh yeah,
it's like
definitely this year. But I mean, I've been doing that for years. I think it's really
doing your makeup
efficient to just like have one look.
Oh,
I don't have
right,
to overthink my makeup. Like, say if I'm gonna,
I think everyone does that, right? Like, other than the moos, I think Instagram brought in this like false reality that everyone's like doing different looks every
yeah,
day.
Like, I think people tried it on for size because it looked fun. Like, I mean,
I think just for Instagram.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it was real life. You never see like
Instagram as
I've never
real
like
life.
Worked anywhere and someone's like coming in with new looks every day. Imagine like green smoky, pink fluorescent,
yeah,
graphic touch. Liner.
Yeah.
But I want to do maybe a reflective on Glossier. I really think they've lost the plot. I think they've very much gone out of the.
Okay.
I don't see them as relevant anymore.
Talk to me.
I just don't see them as relevant anymore. I don't see them popping up. I don't see them like really bringing out any products that are in any way exciting anymore. They used to, like their products used to be like, ooh,
a new product that was like I didn't think of that before.
Yeah, and like it was always like quite a good realized kind of idea. Now it's like with Glossier, I'm like I never go on their website anymore.
I actually bought from them last night.
Did you?
Because
I
missed
so long.
I lost like
your lipsticks.
Yeah, so
yeah. And usually when I go on their website, I just know exactly what I'm buying. I'm just like that and that.
Yeah, I'm not kind of experimenting
like,
with different shit.
For me, it's like they peaked at their blushes. And that's about it.
Okay.
That's like they're probably their, but I think it's like their most, that product is like their most, like it's the one product that I'm like, you can't really buy that anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, that way their lipsticks are good too, just the cake one, but the packaging's just so bad.
It is, yeah.
I can't get over the packaging. I'm like, this is €20 and you can't make a bullet that stays shut without cracking.
I know.
Like, what?
And also I very much find Boy Brow is so overrated.
Boy Brow is shit. It just, and all it did was rip off like, Gimme Brow from Benefit, and everyone's like, the first one. I'm like, it's not the first one, and Gimme Brow has like a way better applicator. It like takes off the excess. Whenever I get Boy Brow, it's like a big blob,
and there's barely any product. Like I never
really
ever go through product. Like I rarely do.
Mm.
Like will take me ages. Yeah, I love my makeup for ages, but Boy Brow, I was like, oh, that's gone.
Boy bye.
Boy bye. More like.
Yeah, like Boy Brow is, and it's not a good brow gel.
No, it really like doesn't make a difference.
It cakes up your brows a lot, I feel.
I just use the, except I will say now, the Benefit, the gel.
Mm.
I've got like three of them, and same with the packaging. It always cracks at the top and then it dries out. It's so annoying.
Really? That's never happened to me.
That's happened to me.
The full size one?
Yeah.
Really?
Wrecks
my head. The old one, I remember.
I love the gel.
Yeah, the gel is so good. The old one, I remember it used to like seal.
Yeah.
I think they've fixed that. And that's never happened to me with that, but yeah, it probably does. I hate it when packaging just fails. It's like, guys, come on, get it.
Especially when you're buying like that, it's like a bit expensive. Yeah. You're like, I can't be arsed. Like if it was Rimmel or whatever, you're like popping in and just buying it again. But like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, Glossier, for me, I think they peaked visually when they did their whole like body hero thing and they had like the big billboard with Paloma, like, you know, and her gorgeous bod and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I think it was like the everyone loved the like unattainability of it. Like when they first came, we couldn't access it, and like you were seeing it on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Like that drives people crazy. And now it's just really accessible. And I think like their stores were a bit silly. I don't think they needed to go down that route.
I think like their stores were cool for like a pure.
I think they should have just had one.
Yeah,
I think the New York one
and the one in California is pretty cool as well. Like they're very cool because like I guess they're kind of going towards that concept store kind of thing, but they didn't do it fully. It's like either do a concept store or do like a proper retail store, you know? So like, I don't know if you know the brand Gentle Monster, they do these really crazy concept stores in Korea. They're an eyewear brand, but like their concept stores have like no eyewear in them. It's just like an art installation, the whole thing. But it's like, that's, you know, it's used as like a marketing ploy. You go there, you learn about the brand basically. And I think Glossier tried to do that. They tried to do half and half, but like, when I went to the Glossier New York store, I'm just like, it's a bit sad.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, it's just like, you don't really have that many products.
Yeah, you don't need a store.
Well, they shouldn't have had a store because the whole thing about them is that they're like the new internet brand. So just be an internet brand.
Yeah.
But their store was like, I mean, it's a cool store and like the building is really nice and it's the design and everything is brilliant. But like the actual part of the makeup, like their packaging is so cheap that like, it really looks it in the store, I feel. Like when they're all, like if you think of any other makeup store, like or like a counter, like those luxury brands, because they are luxury prices, their prices, you know. Like their stuff looks really strong in store. And like they kind of like the, just where the counter, how the counter's set up. Like if you're thinking of like Tom Ford, I know that's not that those prices, but even Mac, right? That have very similar packaging, really minimal. Like it looks kind of cool and chic and like they know how to fit out a store. And even though all their packaging looks the same, it looks kind of strong. But theirs just look like, I don't know. It just
a bit silly.
Yeah, it was just like, here's five foundations. That's all our foundation.
Yeah.
And here's six lipsticks. That's all of them.
Yeah, it is true. They didn't need a store. I don't think we needed to see, because on the website, you know, it's like it's a perfect website shopping experience because there's not as many like it's colors and shades.
It's
and
a
like whatever
capsule collection, you know, but like in there, it's like.
But I guess when you see it all bare.
Yeah, when it's all laid out in such a fancy store as well, it's kind of like, okay, well, it's like frilly knickers, you know, it's just like, oh, look at our beautiful store. And then it's like you go to the makeup and it's like, oh, one perfume.
One perfume, yeah.
Five foundations that are like when you're putting them on your hand, you're like, what?
It's water.
It's water and it's 18 euro. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it kind of, Glossier is a good brand for like in your makeup bag, but in a store environment,
yeah,
it just looked a bit, it kind of fell flat a bit. Now their store is super cool.
And that's why I think they shouldn't have done the stores. I think it was like, you know, would we have bought Glossier if it had a little stand and boots? As much as we do, you know,
at that price, probably not, because of so many brands who like do that whole pare back look now in Boots, especially that like are selling lipsticks for like €6.
Yeah. You know, that and, like that's the kind of, it's the kind of idea of like going on, like usually you go on Instagram, you see something Glossier and you're like, oh shit, I actually do want something from there. I have been really backing it up with the Aztec clay mask.
Oh really? I have a huge tub of that and I barely ever use it, but my skin is just, I only use that in summer. My skin is just so dry. It just like sucks every bit of moisture out of my skin.
See, I find it just so good. I need to get into like a routine of doing it before my period. Gross. But like, not the periods are gross, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just, that's when I will break out. So I think like having that mask, if I have anything that need like toxins or whatever.
Yeah.
It just pulls it all out and like, it's just alleviates that fucking acne situation.
I do it on my nose a good bit.
Oh really?
Sometimes I'll just do it on my nose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would not like always put it all over my face.
No.
Because it's tight.
Yeah.
And drying, and you have to mix it with apple cider vinegar and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I do find like that's just so beneficial. Like you buy a massive big tub of it on Amazon, so cheap. Mm-hmm. So, like there's nothing in it. It's like bentonite clay, isn't it?
Benzonite or something like that. Yeah. It's so good.
So but also Walida Skin Food is my new fave thing.
I see Adam going on about this.
Yes. And he mentioned as well in his question box thing that he did yesterday. He was like, I think that like loads of celebrities use it. But
Do they? I've
like,
never heard of it.
I always see it. You know, when like some makeup artists that I'd follow and like if they're like a celebrity makeup artist, you'd always see it on the
Yeah, it's always counter. In their bag or like they always prep skin with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
in my mind, Walid is like a hair brand. I don't know why I thought it was a hair brand.
I think it's like a health brand. Like it's you get it in like Holland and Barrett and those kind of shops.
Okay.
Which I love that they're open. Since we have no like chance to shop, you know, I've definitely got back into like my health. Because the little health shops are open and I fucking love a health shop.
Oh, I go crazy in a health shop.
I love
I'll drop bank in a health shop. Same.
I'm like getting random shit. What do you like to get?
I don't know. I'll just buy anything. I like got a Dr. Bronner's moment.
Yeah.
I'll buy like 8 natural deodorants.
Oh yeah.
I'll buy yeah, just random shit. Anything that I see that I've never seen before, I'm like, I'll buy it.
I have one. It's Salt of Earth. That's my deodorant really good, I'm using right now. Beautiful. Pink little packaging. Spray on.
Is it the one you wet? Oh no, the spray on one. Yeah,
it's a spray on one. It's a beautiful scent. I have 2, cherry and like fucking cherry blossom or something.
Oh, very nice.
I adore.
Do you use the Skin Food, the light one or the normal?
I use the normal one for nighttime.
Nighttime moment. Yeah. Okay, cool. Buy one, get one half price at the moment at Holland & Mark.
They're actually not that expensive.
No, but
and it's really rich and luxurious. And I like it a lot. And it used to be in that really annoying tinny kind of.
Oh, really? They've repackaged.
So it's like plasticky packaged. Because you know that kind of like when you're getting to the end of it and it's that kind of tinny material, I don't know what it would be called, but like it's like aluminium also, almost
like squeezy.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's sore. It hurts my little fingers.
You can get a really cool device for them. You can get this like, it clamps onto them and it takes it all out. Because my toothpaste that I use is like that as well. And me and Evan have had like one of our iconic fights was like me being like, when you squeeze the toothpaste, can you squeeze from the bottom and not from the middle? He was like, you have to be joking. I was like, no, seriously, because like when you squeeze from the middle, then all this product gets locked down the bottom. Like
I don't get how.
Just squeeze from the bottom. I know. It's like that, and then you roll up the thing and then.
I know. And it's like, I know it sounds anal, but I'm just actually shocked that you wouldn't just do that naturally because it's so common sense.
I know. I was like, your squeezing technique. We need to talk about your squeezing technique and not my tits.
The kids do it with toothpaste all the time, right in the middle, and they just will like, and squeeze it all over, and it's all over the sink. And they don't like, even like, I remember being like, guys, can you spit where the like drain is instead of like all up the side. Oh, dear God.
I think my favorite makeup product, I have 2 of the last year. Here's the official tea on our favorite products. Mine is Hollywood Flawless Filter by Charlotte Tilbury. I truly think there is no other product like it. Now, I will say Samantha Ravendahl has launched her own beauty brand.
We love her.
Samantha, if you don't know her, she's like a big beauty blogger. And I would always trust what she would put out, definitely, because I'm like,
she hasn't put anything out.
She's never, and she's
she only like, did like a MAC.
She did collab. A MAC lipstick collab, but they a load of them did it at the same time. But her new brand is called like Auric. Now I know Carla K Artistry bought this, and it's like a face base. It looks very similar to the Flawless Filter, Hollywood Flawless Filter glow thing. Has some really long, obnoxious names like Hollywood Flawless Filter for a supermodel glow.
I've not used that, so people, talk me through the product.
See, this is the thing. People always ask what it is, and it's really hard to actually kind of put your finger on what it is as a product, because it's like not a highlighter. I think on their website they call it like a glow booster. So it's kind of like a base, but it has a tiny bit of coverage. But like, it would depend on your skin type. Like my skin is so dry, I can use it like all over my face. But since you're maybe a little bit more oily, you'd maybe just put it on like the points where you want a bit of extra glow.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. It's really nice mixed with like, I mix it with the tinted moisturizer all the time because I find the NARS one's nice, but it's not glowy enough for me. And it's just, I've had it for like a year and a bit. It's probably close to going off and I use it every fucking day.
Really?
And it's so fucking good. I use shade 4. I always get fucking asked that as well. But it's just it's a very like versatile product. Like, because you can use it as like, I sometimes use it just on its own. You can use it like as a highlighter as well. You can use it as like to mix in to add glow. It just, you use it every single day. You can use it for like really glam looks, and you could even use it on like your shoulder blades and all that kind of stuff. Now Auric, Samantha Ravendahl's product, she has one and it's like a big bottle as well, and Carla's tried it, and I can't remember, she did a review, but I can't remember her.
You can't remember
what she said. I think like she said it was okay and she tried it another day. I don't know if she's given a definitive on it.
But she wasn't like,
yeah, I don't know. But she has like such a high standard. I'm sure I'd love it. Like I'd be like, yes,
yeah,
I love it. That and then the Freckle Tint by Lottie. 2 best products,
really?
I feel. Yeah.
The little freck maker.
Yeah, not Freck. Lottie. Better.
Yeah.
Half the price. Yeah, why would you pay €18 for a fucking freckle tint? Like, what are people thinking? That is like £6. You can get it in pennies. It's so fucking good. Lottie's such a cute brand.
So Lottie's cute.
Like such a cute brand, and it's like that's the type of brand that I see like coming for the likes of like Glossier. Like if Glossier was in Penny's mm-hmm. and beside Lottie, you'd be like,
yeah, totally.
Of course. It's like, it's obviously like a bit of a, not a rip off, but like inspired by that kind of like internet-y looking branding and yeah. like minimal, but like, you know, like the Glossier's whole thing is like, this is how we keep our prices down. And I'm like, but you're not really that cheap. Like if we're like a teenager or whatever, someone getting into makeup, like you're not that cheap. And you're not, the weird thing is like, they're so middle ground as in like, you know, say they're like face, what's it called? Skin tint.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, it's like €18, which is like...
No, I think that's expensive. I think...
24 maybe?
Yeah, I think it's about 24 because so, like I've used that before and I do like it, but anytime I go on the website, I'm like, oh, I just can't spend that fucking money on
especially
it.
Especially on something with so little versatility. You know, that way it's like you can't really build it up.
For me, one of my best products was one that you turned me on to, Queen. It was the NARS Tinted Moisturizer in exactly. St. Moritz. It's
way so better beautiful. Product.
Like, I mean, people get scared, I think, as well... You know, girls who maybe are like a kind of more glam, heavier coverage look, and mm-hmm. they think they hear like, oh god, a tinted moisturizer, no way. But actually, it gives there's definite like such
no, there's really good like coverage in it,
pigment and stuff, and like it's so for me, it is really glowy. And
that was one that I found that it was always celebrities always mentioned it. And that's really? Why I bought it. Yeah.
Okay.
And Carla K Artistry said she loved it, and I was like, okay, because I know that she likes the same kind of face based
yeah.
stuff that
yeah,
I do. But like, say for example, right, that is I only have pounds for some reason. I think my VPN is on. But say we're talking pounds, right? So that is like £28. But then the skin tint is £20. So you're like, that's the weird thing about Glossier. It's so middle range that
and
you're
it's
like
tiny. The skin tint is a tiny
and it's
little
half
bottle.
Water. Yeah. So like, you're gonna fly through the fucking shit. And also like. You know, it's like how they said the likes of American Apparel went out of business because they were like middle range, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, it was basics, but middle range. So you're like, okay, buying a white t-shirt, you're like, okay, I'll go to Penny's and it's a fiver, or maybe I'll go to Calvin Klein and it's like 45, but I know mm-hmm. it's like, you know, higher end. So then it's like, why would I buy one for 25 in American Apparel? And that's why those companies, and that's why I think Glossier, unless they kind of get their shit together, that's going to happen them.
Yeah, because for sure. They need another breakthrough product. I think like people went crazy for the boy brow. People went crazy for the blush. They need another breakthrough.
Yeah. They need another skin product, I think. Like they need to like as in like.
I was thinking they should get into hair.
Hair. I think that's a whole other ball game.
I would just love a little.
That's when brands fuck up though as well. When they're like, no, we're doing hair. It's like, just do one thing well. Nail that.
I think their skin products aren't. Like, I mean, I like their serums, but like, yeah.
No, I mean like skin, like foundation. I think they need a new foundation. They need to rethink that skin tint or like do one like, they need to do something else because like.
The skin tint is so annoying because I love all their, and they need to like be consistent with their YouTube as well, for fuck's sake. Like yeah. they're that really makes people like buy their products. But I was like, watching one where like,
or whatever.
With Emily Weiss or whatever. And she's like, and then I put on the skin tint and she's like, I lash it on. And it's like. I don't like to buy a product where the person who made the product is saying that she lashes it on. When you see the tiny little bottle, you're like, oh, so I have to use a lot of that. That fucking stresses me out. How many times do I have to buy this a year?
Especially like when MAC Face and Body, you can get it in twice a big bottle. You can get it in like a 60ml bottle and you can get it in like 25 shades or something. Yeah. You know that way? Or like so many more options when it's like, and there's more coverage in that. So it's like the skin tint is like, it's just what I remember watching like a when you know those YouTube channels where they're like scientists and I'm breaking down a product. They were talking about skin tint. They were like, all this is like a regular foundation with more water in it. That's all it is. It's just water based foundation. So like, why would you buy that when you could buy something with a little bit more coverage and you can always sheer out, you know?
But also with like the NARS moisturizer, tinted moisturizer, it's like water and foundation doesn't mix well. Like you need a cream kind of lotiony base to kind of like
it
help
SPF
it.
SPF in it.
Yeah.
The fact that theirs doesn't have SPF in it is actually shocking.
I guess like
they want you to buy the SPF, which is good. That's a good product.
Yeah, I like the SPF. But definitely that NARS Tinted Moisturizer is just like it's I love a product, especially because like I don't use brushes or anything like that. I love something that you can just pop a little bit on your fingertips and go ham and like it's on.
Yeah,
like
it's
rubbing
so
it
nice.
All in, like it blends really well and you just don't have to like place it on your skin. You know the way, like there's no like buffing in, like you're just kind of going at it, like smearing it all over your face and you're done.
Yeah.
Because I think my worst thing with makeup, I don't like doing face. I don't really enjoy that. I love like, you know, when you're doing your makeup, like when my face and my bronzer and all is done, that's when I'm like, you know? Then I kind of like, it's a bit more fun doing the brows and whatever. Also just my Rimmel, liner has served me so well. My little Rimmel, I think it's the really thin brush.
Oh yeah, you've used that one for fucking years.
For years. It's just like, I just, there's something about my winged eyeliner when I have it on, I just feel like, you can't mess with me.
She's going back to girl boss vibes.
I am.
Coffee, cigarette, eyeliner.
Literally.
Done. Like, bad bitch has been activated.
Don't come for me when my wings are on.
It's so don't gross. Talk to me unless my wings are on.
I'm flying.
I feel like Superwoman with my wings.
And it's like they're so sharp and they just like make me feel fab. And then I have like the overdrawn lip and I just feel like I could take over the world.
The world. It is the our iconic look.
And it just kind of, it just, yeah, it makes me feel like I love the like put your game face on and like that kind of thing. So it kind of just makes me feel like I can do anything with my wings and my overdrawn lip.
So to end off, do you want to talk about Emrata's book? I'm so excited for it. So
we're obviously needing to do a little book club, girlies.
Emrata has said that, well, I think that article maybe that she wrote that we did a dramatic reading of, I think that might have been some sort of teaser. I can't remember.
I think it was too, yeah.
Because I think they were
an excerpt, shall we say.
Yeah, because it was like an essay. So I'm going to read the Amazon description, okay? A deeply honest investigation of what it means to be a woman and a commodity from Emily Ratajkowski, an archetypal multi-hyphenate celebrity of our time. So her book is called Guess.
Oh, I have no idea.
My body. So Emily Ratajkowski is an acclaimed model and actress, an engaged political progressive, a formidable entrepreneur, a global social media phenomenon, and now a writer. Rocketing to world fame at age 21, Ratajkowski sparked both praise and furore with the provocative display of her body as an unapologetic statement of feminist empowerment. The subsequent evolution of her thinking about our culture's commodification of women is the subject of this book. My body is a profoundly personal exploration of feminism, sexuality, and power, of men's treatment of women and of women's rationalizations for accepting that treatment. These essays chronicle moments from Ratajkowski's life while investigating the culture's fetishization of girls and female beauty, its obsession with our contempt for women's sexuality, the perverse dynamics of the fashion and film industries, and the gray area between consent and abuse. Nuanced, unflinching, and insensitive, My Body marks the debut of a fierce writer brimming with courage and intelligence. I'm fucking dying. It's 250 pages long. And I'm dying. I'm truly so excited to read this book.
I am shocked. Like, what I fucking am intrigued to read about this book, right, is like, I don't get you. I don't understand. Like, you're talking about like the sexualization of the female body, which is what she constantly does. And I'm like, what's your point here? That the body shouldn't be sexualized, but that's how you made your damn money, bitch. You're like,
totally. My weird thing with Emily Ratajkowski, ratatata, as we call it,
ratatata,
is that like, she's so unrelatable and she doesn't see it. Like, the girl does not see that she is possibly the most unrelatable woman on this planet, okay? Not only is she like strikingly beautiful, like unbelievable looking, her body is like the most banging thing ever that she insists is provided by pizza and spaghetti, you know, that way. And
pizza in bed with my boyfriend.
Totally. She also lives this like Carrie Bradshaw life where like you don't really know much about her like
job.
Yeah, like even just her like background, like I know modeling, but like what? How did you make all this money? And then she like meets this guy and like, you know, he's like this cool movie producer. He did like Uncut Gems and like
she's like collecting art.
And they get married after 6 fucking weeks.
And she's wearing a Zara mustard suit.
Yeah. You know, it's like you're so unrelatable, but you don't see it. Like I love an unrelatable moment, you know, like I can, that's why like in a way I kind of respect the Kardashians in a way. I'm like, they know they're not relatable, like they are living, they're doing shit like in the middle of pandemic, like posing in fucking Maui. It's like they know that they like their lives are like Kim being like, I rented the island for my 40th birthday, you know.
Yeah,
they fully realize, I think, that they are like they're on a different level of celebrity. But Emily Ratajkowski for some reason has this like...
Yeah, the Kardashians aren't trying to be relatable. With, yeah.
They're being aspirational, this kind of like...
They're trying to, and they're not trying to excuse. They're like, oh no, but we got everyone to be tested before.
Yeah, or like Kim's not being like the commodification of my body, when realistically her body's probably one of the most commodified in the world.
Totally, yeah. I mean, like...
And
Emily
she self-commodifies it by putting herself in all of her ads, making that... Remember she made that body bottle of perfume?
Yeah, like the kind of Jean-Paul Gaultier.
So it's like, either do it and own it or be against it.
But like she's doing it, owning it, because that's clearly like how she first of all got like famous.
Yeah.
But then she's kind of pointing blame at like men, I'm assuming, or like people for sexualizing the body that she like. I don't understand what your point. I get it. I really do. You like being naked and you like taking photos of your naked body.
I would. I look like yeah, that. Yeah, I mean,
and your husband doesn't seem to mind.
Fair play.
And it's all good in the hood, baby. But like, why are you then going on about it and making it this big like sexualization of this body? It's like, it is, I don't know. Does she want the whole world to be like a nudist world where we just accept nudity? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like the nudity thing, I guess again, that's why I'm going to be interested to see like what her thesis is around this. But like, you know, the nudity thing is like, I guess her whole thing is like, you've just been conditioned to see my body as sexual when like my body is like hyper feminine and like incredible and like powerful. Not my words, what I'm presuming hers are from what I've seen from her Instagram captions.
And especially when she's talking about like, yeah, from her like pregnancy Insta captions.
I've only like, that's like her past kind of oeuvre of work is just Instagram captions. So that's all I can really base it off that and that one essay.
And I can tell she's an incredible writer. But like, I mean, in terms of like my body, I just find it so fucking tone deaf. Yes, your body is sexualized, but like there's men, like you're lucky to fucking be in a healthy body that's making a bit, like that's able to like make a baby, that's like really slim, that's giving you this fucking job because it's like up to the beauty standards of like, you know, today or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have tits, you have that weird like line down your stomach.
Yeah, you know, your stomach goes, it's concave.
Yeah, and like now you're pregnant and you're going to be like straight back to that weird line as soon as that baby pops out. Like, it's, your body is not a fucking issue. People
She'll
have
claim
like,
the line is a stretch mark.
What?
She'll claim the line is a stretch mark.
My tiger is stretch. My husband loves them. He loves to come all over them. But yeah, it's just like, shut the fuck up going on about your body when there's people out there who like have diseases, or you know the way, like,
or no, just make it a bit, it's just like the body conversation is just so overdone. Do you want to hear what Lena Dunham, her bestie, her review is?
Okay.
Emily has captured with the acuity, how the fuck do you say that word, of an early Joan Didion investigating the culture of California and complicated terrain of having a body people want to sell and having her own agenda she refuses to give up. Her prose by turns honey smooth and vicious, uproarious and wounded. She knows the pain that lives in every woman, and she isn't afraid to link arms and say that she's been there and that it hurts.
Oh, shut up. She knows the pain that's lived in every woman.
This is the book, Every Woman, trying to place their body on the map of consumption versus control. And every woman who wants to do better and understand her impulses. It left me much changed. Lena Dunham. Like,
I'm so over this conversation. Like, Lena Dunham, who's been through like endometriosis and all this like difficult shit with her own body, is now like praising this bitch and saying that she's known the pain of every woman. Like, unless she's going to come out with something.
Well, they're besties, so I mean, it's very biased. But I mean, yeah, like Lena Dunham at least like has gone through all this shit. Didn't she have to get like a hysterectomy?
Her womb removed,
She also was... She, you know, she would be naked on girls and people would literally be in uproar because her body like isn't the stereotypical.
Yeah, like we saw the whole like Jonah Hill thing this week where like he was photographing Daily Mail and everyone's like, this is wrong. It's like, oh, really? You care now that they once do it for a fucking lad when they've been doing it for girls since the beginning of the media? Like they always would like post like Lizzo and everyone's like, oh God, Lizzo can't get her freaking bod out without everyone being like, look at you, you confident queen. It's like, why does she have to be confident?
Like, and like people, like I felt that Jonah Hill thing made me feel bad for Lena Dunham as well. I love Lena Dunham. Like that girl, she does have a hold.
She's selling her house.
Is she? Yeah. Interesting. She holds, I have a soft spot for her. I think Girls was amazing.
I like her.
Girls was such a well written fucking show.
And her book is so funny.
Her book is hilarious.
Like, I actually was not expecting that. I randomly picked it up in a charity shop and it's fucking cracked.
It's brilliant. Maybe
it's
we should do a book review of that as well.
After she's Emily,
She's a great writer, writer. And she does, like, she really, she annoys some people, but, like, I find her very charming.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, like Lena Dunham, like during Girls and like during like loads of her like appearances in films, and she always got known as like the kind of fat girl who showed off her body. It's disgusting, and the state of her, she's dying to show off her body. And then like the Jonah Hill thing, the Jonah Hill thing, people were like mainly praising his caption for. And I'm like, even though you and I, and like admittedly so, we rag on like the body, the kind of like commodification of like body confidence and body positivity and blah 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 blah, which isn't to say that no one should feel confident in their own body no matter their size. It's just the like kind of the Instagrammableness of it has just kind of gone a bit like,
well, the constant saturated. Talking about a body which is just like in its physical form.
Yeah, so but I did feel like kind of weird that I was like, so Jonah Hill gets like instantly praised across social media when like realistically, as you said, like Lizzo and stuff, like she could post something about her body and all it really sparks is debate.
Yeah.
Debate as well.
Like, about health.
It's not healthy. And then it's like, but no one did that from what I could see of Jonah Hill. No one was like, but he's not healthy. Everyone's like, no, he's on a surfboard. Very healthy man.
Look, he's doing great.
And like, I'm delighted. I mean, it was a cute little caption. I felt bad for him. And I do feel bad that like, he obviously went through like being the fat joke, which that was like, oh, yeah. I could totally see that. That then you were like known as like the jovial fat man. And like, it gave him such a complex, but he is a cutie too.
He is a cutie.
I have a soft spot for him.
And I don't, like, it's not against him. It's just that like they do that to women all the time. And when there are the types of guys like Jonah Hill, they get called dad bod and it's hot, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I find Emily insufferable, and I like,
we're gonna give it a fair review though.
We'll give it a fair review because I'm intrigued in this like constant conversation about like her and her body and it, like, you know, it being a product but it's mine. It's like, I mean, I understand that must feel weird to kind of, but I do think like she has her own swimwear line just like Kim Kardashian, where she uses herself and like she does sexual poses. Like there's plenty, we see Roz Purcell doing these like non-sexual poses while showing off her body. So there's ways to like show your body in a non-sexual way, but Emily only chooses to show it in a sexual way. So I don't think it's other people's perception of her just being the sexual being. Like she could definitely de-sexify her image, but she doesn't because it's her product and it's her money.
Yeah. So just and that's what I'm interested deal in. With that. I agree with you. I'm interested in knowing like what her theory is around that. Like, because I'm for people, if you want to self-sexualize, that's grand. That's your own idea. Or your own like bodily autonomy, you know, the way you can present your body whatever way you fucking want. But I'm trying to, I really am
to
trying
do to, it and then complain about it and say that that's not what she's doing. It's just well, very
to do,
muddled.
Yeah, to do it and then be like, I'm constantly sexualized. It's like, but you also constantly sexualize yourself. And you made a good point, Caroline, about like, you know, you don't owe, like, if you want to desexualize yourself, there's ways to go about that. And yeah, you could make it, you could maybe argue about like, well, why is one thing seen sexual and blah, blah, blah. You know, you could go down this whole academic route of like, you know,
because we're not constantly sexual. Like Emily Ratatata is definitely not always sexy. Mm. You know, there's like, even the most beautiful women in the world are like, you know, no one is always sexy.
Yeah, no, of course not.
You know, so like, but she just chooses to show that. So that's grand. But like, well, it's...
I am dying to read this book.
I'm
going to
eat that book up.
Multi-hyphenate celebrity.
Yep.
Highly intelligent. Are we multi-hyphenate podcasters?
Yes.
I think so. Okay, girls. Pre-order the book with us.
Yeah, we're going to be little book club.
I don't mind giving her the money for it if it gives me some lols.
Yes, exactly. I can't wait to read excerpts. Okay, bye, gals.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.